pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any agenda changes? So one chance. All right, for the consent agenda, any concerns or comments there from the board? Mr. Bowers, can you remind the public what we're voting on here?
On the consent agenda, we have North Road Park Phase 3, which actually can jump ahead to Phase 2, some technicalities. This will be for the restroom and shelter facilities at North Road Park, just adjacent to the parking lot, just to the west side of the parking lot.
Thank you, sir. Take a motion to go ahead.
Just to confirm, the $120,000 is the contingency and the $1.2 is the actual contract?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Make a motion to approve Resolution 22-265, approving the electronic record of the proceedings of the regular meeting held on July 18, 2022, and special trustee meeting held on July 20th, 2022, and Resolution 22-266, approving purchase orders, then and now purchase orders, and blanket purchase orders, as listed in the consent agenda.
Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Brings us to development.
Good morning. We have a Board of Zoning Appeals meeting scheduled for later this month, Thursday, August 18th. We have two cases on that agenda. One is a conditional use for a monument sign. The other is an area variance for an addition that is encroaching into the rear yard setbacks. That was continued from the previous Board of Zoning Appeals meeting held in July. Zoning Commission, we have one hearing in August, which is Tuesday, August 23rd. We have rezoning application ZON-22-09, requesting rezoning property to single family planned residential districts to allow single family homes with both unattached and attached condominiums. We do have two resolutions before you today. At the previous Zoning Commission meeting, we had two applications, ZON-22-07 and ZON-22-08, which were recommended for approval by the Zoning Commission. So we will look to schedule those cases for a hearing on the same evening with you all. I can go over those dates in just a second. And the final item on the zoning meetings report, the still tabled rezoning application ZON-22-06, which is proposed for a car wash facility at the corner of 23 and Lewis Center Road. That is still tabled. A date has not been set for that hearing as of yet.
Any comments or notes from the zoning commission that were there any changes or modifications to the applications for scheduling?
They did submit some new changes. The Azar Village 10 houses on East Orange Road, they submitted a new site plan. They have removed all their divergence requests. So that should be in good shape. There will not be any changes before the trustee hearing. The ECH Pathways Amendment, we will kind of work with them to hammer out some language. That was an amendment to an existing commercial district. So we'll continue to work with them on some language, but in general, the Zoning Commission felt that their application was good enough to recommend approval to the trustees.
And the prior that you notified us of, I think it was 09 above, that is the property at North Road, correct?
Correct.
Can you scroll back up to the map?
And that one's being heard by the Zoning Commission on August 23rd?
Correct.
All right.
Has there been public comment? to the Azar Village and the ECH pathways?
We have received some public comment for Azar Village, yes. We've not received anything for ECH pathways.
And you'll pass that along?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got some emails about that as well. So, any proposed dates, Ms. Bonnie, that you guys have worked through already?
So we were looking at the last week in August or potentially the first week of September. I know Robin was able to send out a couple date options. As far as my understanding is, August 31st will not work.
I can't do that one. It's the curriculum night for middle school.
What was the other thing that was proposed?
We have several. So Monday, August 29th, Tuesday, August 30th, Thursday, September 1, Tuesday, September 6th, or Thursday, September 8th.
What about Wednesday the 7th?
The Monday that you mentioned in August? Mm-hmm. What's the date?
August 29th.
Will that work for
Mondays? Do Wednesdays work better?
Normally, but I just can't do that 31st because it's curriculum night.
Oh, yeah. Where about probably Thursday?
Is there a reason why we didn't suggest the 7th?
There might have been, and I don't recall what it was right now.
Is that more than 30 days, maybe?
But they said the 8th, though.
Oh, they did say the 8th, though.
Can you all make the 29th work?
I can't do something on the
29th. What's that?
I can't do something on
the 29th. I can't, but what about the 24th?
I can do the 24th. Oh, no, that's the high school.
What about Thursday, September 1st?
No issues.
I could we do that one at like 5?
For both applications?
Yeah. Yeah. That would work.
Sorry, which day?
Thursday the 1st.
At 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Motion to approve resolution 22-267, scheduled hearing date for zoning application 22-07, Azar Village, Sylvia and Payne Residential District, Thursday, September 1st at 5 p.m.
Second. Trustee Rebels?
Yes.
Trustee Faust?
Yes.
And Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Motion to approve resolution 22-268, scheduled hearing date for zoning application 22-08, ECH Pathways Planned Commercial District, for Thursday, September 1st at 2 p.m. or 5 p.m.
Second. Trustee Rebels?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
And Trustee Faust?
Yes.
Mr. Bowers.
Right. Good morning, board. I've got several different things, all different places, so I'll try to maybe group them together. If you want me to keep going or stop, just speak up and we'll adjust accordingly. First resolution for you is filling the full-time position of our assistant manager for parks and maintenance and facilities. If you recall, that position came open about 2 months ago at this point. We went through a review process, had several internal applicants, and would like to recommend Greg Butts, who's a longtime township employee in the Public Works Department, to slide over to the Parks Maintenance and Facility side and become the assistant manager over there. The next two pieces I have are both relative to North Road Park. Again, this will be phase 3 of North Road Park that will include the restroom and shelter facility. And this is another project that was kind of sitting on the shelf for a while. We broke this project free from the other constraints of the park. The plan was in place before to try to be able to move forward a little bit quicker. What we sent out to the board to review is the pre-engineered prefabricated structure for a shelter and restroom facility with a lot of customization on it too that allows us to have something we should be proud of. This would essentially, per terms of the agreement, go up next spring. Allows us several months for some specific detail selections and engineering and construction, and then some site prep work as well. And then they'll be hot heavy with construction beginning in March or April of 23. And with that, there's also a contingency as well for any unexpected things that may come up. So those are both for North Road Phase 2. If there's any questions, again, feel free to jump in whenever.
I had spoken to a stylist and interviewed the initial proposal and then had asked for some windows to be added just so we get some natural light in the rooms. Won't be a ton of natural light, but they'll be better than just a closed room. We also reconfigured the entrance to something that I was a little more comfortable with, maintaining privacy, but then also making it not look like a little dungeon right when you first enter the area. So I'm comfortable with it.
For which building is that?
For the restroom, sewers.
Thank you for doing that.
Of course. I'm excited to get these, you know, North Road's been in the works for a long time. So we had talked about this when I first came on at the beginning of the year. We were excited to get it happen. So it should be up and running then for the fall soccer season.
Hopefully summer.
Summer,
kind of shooting for that Memorial Day window, but again, the uncertainty of the industry right now, really, you know, some of these schedules, I want to believe them, but it's anybody's guess what it'll look like next spring when they actually put a shovel in the ground. So.
And is the park used in the summer? I go by during the day, so.
Yeah, the good thing about the project is this area will be not impactful to any groups using the park. It's not part of the playing field. We're not taking something out. There's some people that still use that area, but it's not a high traffic area at all, so it should be pretty minimal impact.
And it'll be nice for residents using the walking paths if they need to stop and use the restroom or grab a drink or something. So, and we also talked about it'll have two family restrooms, one of them is larger and will have a universal changing station in that. So we're excited to be able to do that. That's the community as well.
Yeah, I think we've been working on that park for like 14 years.
Well, I appreciate everyone's involvement with it as well. Help you with where it is right now. So, with the board's blessing, we'll push it through the finish line here. Hopefully, have something we can be proud of here next year.
Did you say it would be done by April or?
Hopefully, Memorial Day, maybe early June, neck of the woods is what the penciled in time frame would be right now. Start like March or April, depending on how the weather looks next March or April. And then, hopefully, the construction industry is a little less volatile than it is right now.
And with it being a prefab structure, it should go up fairly quickly.
Should go pretty quick compared to typical construction. And once the site prep is ready to go, some of the potential weather delays and hiccups will be eliminated at that point too. So it should help.
Well, the site prep work that we are responsible for, will that happen prior to that March?
Everything we can do ahead of time will be done. There'll be one or two that have to wait until they get on site for it. So, yeah, good questions.
Thank you.
All right, if there's no other questions on North Road Park, I'll jump into the next one, which is a agreement with Garber Asset Protection. This is a private security firm that we're looking to contract for events, aquatic center, just whatever as needed on an as-needed basis. Should we have some needs for private security where it's easier to contract with them as opposed to the county sheriff, this would be kind of a one-off from that agreement as well. So we'll continue to connect with the county when we can. This will be just another option for us in the event that the county officers cannot fulfill an overtime assignment.
Do we know how much of a lead time they need? Like if we get wind, can we get out 24 hours?
Less than a week hasn't really been clearly defined yet, but it sounds like they're relatively readily available whenever we need them. Hopefully for the majority of our needs, we should have a pretty good heads up on when those dates will be.
Okay, thank you.
What were their duties specifically?
Again, private security, it'll depend on the action that we call them for. If it's for the aquatic center, they'll be there to just be a presence sometimes. Sometimes it'll be to enforce different rules. Sometimes it'll be escorting money. Sometimes it could be assistance at the front desk dealing with unruly patrons. If it's a special event, it could involve alcohol oversight, insurance things, again, dealing with patrons or issues that could come up, safety, security concerns. Could be parking lot management, like it could be a whole bunch of different things. It's a very wide net to cast.
So will we call in security on pool patrons?
In the event there was an issue, we would have an adult presence there to help assist our staff.
I don't know if I like that idea. I don't know what other pools utilize. If there's an issue, why wouldn't you call the sheriff's office?
One for response time. Sometimes
they're very quick on
response. I think if it's an acute instance, like we have an issue like right now, then we can call the sheriff. Is that correct?
Yeah, if there's an urgent issue, like we had a couple this year, they'll show up. This is preventative.
I've never heard of a security patrol actually patrolling a pool. I think that's absurd. I think that's ridiculous government.
In quite a few communities around Central Ohio, they contract their sheriff's office and SROs to be there on a permanent basis.
Well, that's different. That's a sheriff's. I mean, what are the problems that we're experiencing that require this, that could require this?
Mainly the things we've discussed in the past. It is unruly patrons, issues with front desk personnel, there's issues with teenagers bringing alcohol in. Some of the stuff we've talked about quite a bit. And again,
And you're saying teenagers have brought alcohol into the pool?
Yes.
That's documented?
Yeah.
By the sheriff's
office? That I don't have their info.
I've talked to people there and they said everything's been pretty settled down. Now, I mean, what would be the procedure? Who would make that call on whether to call the security?
The issue at hand here is not to call security if there's an issue. The issue with guard, or the action of approving guard work is to utilize that when we need that. So if we know we have a busy pool day coming up, like 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, we could have security on hand to help eliminate any issues before they happen. As we've talked about in the past, there's a pool staff that is very young. There's not always an adult on staff or on hand at the pool. So this would add an adult presence with a little bit of authority to help any issues that could come up if we have one, or prevent events.
What other pools in this area, does Dublin use security guards?
We use security guards at church. Sunday morning we always have a security guard.
I don't think Dublin, Hilliard, what's another pool that similar to ours actually would call in uniform security guards that come in and monitor the patient? That seems like a police state to me.
It is, and a lot of the comparisons that you're mentioning are cities that have their own police force, where township relies on the county, so they have that there around the clock is a bit excessive. I'm not sure that would be well received by them if we requested that. So this is, again, more for special events, more for preventative issues. And it's not a all-the-time thing. It's probably for the remainder of this pool season, just speaking of the pool, it's really just for events.
I mean, so someone is, what kind of things would they enforce? I mean, someone stayed in the pool during breast security, get out fast enough, they're going to come up and tell them to get out. And this, I strongly disagree with using them at the pool. I've talked to the pool manager's wife and she and others, and they've said things have pretty much settled down. We do have a running list of all the occurrences that have been occurring that are so bad that we actually need to call security to do that. I mean, this is just, I think, out of control.
Again, as I mentioned, this is not a calling security when there's a problem. This is preventative, so we would have them there on busy days or have them there on events to be an additional adult enforcement tactic in case something did happen.
What kind of actions would they do?
So when kids would jump the fence, if people brought alcohol in, if we need to inspect bags, we had a security incident this year where we had to inspect bags, and relying on teenagers and young adults to handle that is sometimes a little bit challenging. So again, this would add an adult presence to help make that a little bit easier.
I don't agree with the government inspecting bags. What would be the justified cause for doing that?
There's a known threat.
Then you would call the police. If you think there's a bomb or an alcohol, you would call the police.
Which we did.
Right, so I would not think of private security. You can't just go up to someone and say, I'm going to check a bag. I mean, there needs to be rules in place in advance. You can't just go up and say, yeah, I'm going to look at a bag. People still have rights even on government property.
Correct. Our pool rule states any bag or cooler is subject to inspection.
So some people could actually have their bags inspected just because of the way they look or their age?
No, they inspect. Like, I took my kids to the night swim with a movie, and they had someone there checking all the bags.
Who was that night?
It was a staff member, so it's one of the teenagers. But they, on big events like that, sometimes
on the movie night.
Like the Notre Dame thing that we're doing, later in the weekend, we would have them.
Every single bag was checked.
They went every single bag. It's a staff member,
it's not a private security.
Right, this is also a 15-year-old staff member, so just again, a status assistant to have more of an adult presence there.
What actions would they take? I mean, I'm too deep.
It's an option that we had to have them in full uniform and fully armed if need be, like a regular police officer. There's also an option to have them more of a, say, mall cop type of thing as well.
So, I mean, this is just...
The pool that I went to, I've been to several this year out of our area, and at each of them, there was a bag inspection. So, we were going to a birthday party, and they were inspecting all the bags, and one of the bags had a glass container with cupcakes in it. And so we had to leave that. We had an option to either take it to the grassy pavilion, which we were going to anyway, or leave it at the front. And
where was this at? This
was
Easy Bay does that, I know, but that's a different. This is more of a community.
Yeah,
I mean, residents are allowed to come in.
So Easy Bay has always checked bags. This was in a similar facility to ours, actually, but in a suburb.
But is there an incident report that shows all the different things that have changed from year to year that is giving a reason why we need to do this? Because I've not heard of things vastly increasing from the past years. I mean, everything that we do needs to have a reason why we're doing it. And if that, we could put that in the contract next year, that there will be an extra staff person who will check bags and we'll just have to pay for it. But I feel like this is supposed to be a fun recreational area, and I feel like having a uniformed person there keep an eye out. And then, I mean, what kind of things, like, what would the infraction, like, you know, you're a kid and you make one mistake and then all of a sudden you're kicked out of the pool, or, I mean, how insane is it going to get? I mean, what has not been working so far with what we've been doing? Has it not been working? Has anyone defied the orders or brought something in they shouldn't have, or been arrested at the pool?
I don't believe we've had any arrests. We've had just this calendar year alone. We've had pepper spray incident, we've had a threat of weapons incident, alcohol incidents left and right, as the other board members mentioned. There's when they check bags, they're looking for glass, looking for alcohol, looking for weapons, anything like that that might create an issue. Again, this is all preventative. It's not that we have a bad situation going, it's that things do pop up occasionally. And this opportunity to have potential private security when we need it, whether it be for special events or just on busy days, is an extra preventative measure to keep everybody safe.
I would be okay at special events, but not on a day-to-day.
I think that's what he's asking for, is just special events, right?
Well, I know that's not what he's asking for.
No, it's not every day, just on when
he's
we have.
He's asking for whenever he wants it to occur, and I want to know, make the judgment call on that. I would not approve of it on a regular basis. I say just hire, and we can take on the school management to have an extra person there who's familiar with how pools work and can keep it. I mean, if it's that bad, can we not contrast which one was school management to have an extra staff person and pay them, even if we have to pay more?
I'd be hesitant to guarantee any of that since they've been having some short staffing issues already. They just were informed.
Well, that's because they get paid very, they're kids, they don't pay well. If we have to pay someone $25 if we have to write someone into the contract that is a person who typically works at school, maybe it's an adult in their 20s. If we pay them more, they'd be, a member of the actual staff that would just walk around. Maybe that's what we need, but
is that going to be more expensive than doing this occasionally, though?
How much is the rate on this?
It's $30 an hour.
Right.
And so they're only going to be there, I mean, it's just what we've mentioned, Memorial Day, Labor Day.
They can come in any day. What specific days would you use this on? I would like to get specific. I would not like on, hey, I just feel like someone coming in today, but you want to pull. I disagree with that. I mean, okay, for special events.
We had a lot of trouble at the beginning of the season with behavior of some of our older
teams.
It's definitely calmed down. My understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, Seth, that everybody's now obeying the rules.
Spent a lot of time over there trying to correct a lot of issues. It's not foolproof, but we've paid a lot of attention to it, trying to make some strides, and it seems most of those are working.
I would agree for this for special events, and that's it at this point. And then if you have problems on this other problems, I would suggest, I mean, not just one or three, but bring it back to the board and with your specific complaints as to what's going on and why it's necessary. Because I can see them just being called out for whatever reason, for no reason.
No, again, we're not calling them out to respond to these incidents. That would be a police matter.
You would call them.
But if we give a week's notice, it's not going to be anything quick.
If we were to say, next week,
we're just going to do our random Wednesday because we know, a certain group might be there or something.
Is this still pending legal? Is this conversation? Do we have to do this today, or can we wait until we have a chance to review the contract?
Yeah, just wait. We're waiting legal review right now. We should have it back in.
That's right.
Again, if we know there's a week of 92 degree weather, 90 plus 100 degree weather, that would be a good week to maybe have them there for a 3 or 4 hour block. It's not going to be consistent. It's not going to be premeditated because some group is coming in. We want to keep an extra eye on them. It is, it's an as needed thing as we determine. If we know it's going to be, we're looking at 1,000, 1,500 people in the pool in any given day, it'd be nice to have some adult presence. Forcing CPM to hire an adult is going to be really challenging. People aren't running for lifeguard jobs. So
well, it wouldn't be a lifeguard job. It would be higher paid than a lifeguard job. Or are we paying the, who's the wife of Fred?
Mary.
Yeah, I mean, she could hire her if she could get her to see. Well,
she's there as often as she can be there.
Yeah,
she has a lot of things to manage.
But, pay her, hire her. I mean, someone that's familiar. It's funny because I feel like over the past year, there's just more and more and more restrictions. I mean, things that I've never seen in the past. We gotta, we can cut down on the number of people attending the pool. We gotta look at this, we gotta look at that. I mean, that's all I see. But it's pretty much almost the same as it's always been. And I think government should have, not be constantly having to control everybody all the time. I mean, there's been such a push for that, and I won't tolerate that here.
You mentioned this would be in lieu of the Sheriff's Department, of contract help for the Sheriff's Department. Is there, it's much cheaper, obviously. Is there an issue with the Sheriff's Department performing special duty with us, like they have staffing issues too?
Correct. So what we were to put, if we were to put a special duty assignment out for a night swim for our upcoming event, they put those out and there's no guarantee that anybody will sign up for it. And our last couple night swims where we had that up there, we did not have anybody sign up for it. So we did not have anybody there. So
you did request it for the last 2 months. How far have you been doing?
Several weeks, a month.
Yes, I did all 3 dates when I requested.
They said no problem.
Well, they don't tell,
they don't tell you.
About 48 hours before is when they actually tell us whether anybody signed up or not. So that does put us up against the timeline of having somebody there or not having somebody there. And then if we don't have somebody there.
First two, we didn't have someone there. No one took it.
Were there problems those evenings?
They inspected coors and nothing made it.
So there were no problems, so why? I don't understand why. I mean, a lot of times too, I prefer a lot our own officers, honestly, because they're kind of known and trusted most,
that's why I was joining with that.
And they have a community relationship, and people usually have respect for them, and they usually have a decent rapport with kids. And if someone's going to sign up to work at the pool, it's usually going to have a certain, possibly, personality. Hopefully,
I think if we wanted to assure the sheriff's office to help for special events, I think we would have to go into some form of a contract with them. So that would be a significant cost compared to what we would be proposing.
But if we're not having problems with the other night swims, why are we?
Well, I think just in this day and age, unfortunately, with public private events, things
that's my concern.
Can happen without.
Because we market for these and send out the notice and.
But only residents can
wait. Residents that you can bring a friend.
Yeah, so it's only Orange County residents that are permitted to come, and you can bring a friend if you want. It's not like the old days where anyone was able to come back in the day, or any, in fact, I think just 2019, the last year of regular season, you were allowed to be a non-resident coming. And that created problems. I think that's why we went to just having residents with friends, because there were so many problems.
There are a lot of parents that drop off teenagers to these events, so it may be an extra, warm fuzzy for mom and dad that, there's somebody there.
I'm fine with having them for special events.
Specifically.
For night swims and things. I do have concern over not having any sort of presence there. It's not so much a resident concern. Although, we have 30,000 plus people here, and if you look at, not to mention potential guests, you look at what's happening, at some of these events, it's people that are from the same area that they're happening in. So I don't have a pulse on the status or well-being of every single person in the community, but and I don't expect I ever will. But for me, Chief, maybe you can chime in too, when you look at like an opportunist that's looking to do something stupid, they're gonna look for soft targets and things like that, that they can go in, like the mall, for example, that just happened. And, you know, I would say too, at the onset of the year, like going into next year, you know, based on this year's experience, establishing that upfront presence would be extremely beneficial too, where it's like, okay, well, everybody's got pent up energy coming out of school, and they're coming, you know, it's a hot weather, they're coming into this pool season, and a little overjoyed at times, or too excited, and want to test the boundaries, they're going to do that right off the bat and establish where they can, you know, get away with things. And I would certainly support at the beginning of the season having presence. But I do agree the default should always be the sheriff's office and special duty pay. And for the same reasons as Trustee Knapp, they know our community, and they kind of have a better pulse on, you know, the interaction and things like that. I just feel more comfortable with it. If we can't get special duty pay, might be a conversation to revisit with Sheriff Martin that
enter into a small contract maybe for a number of hours.
Sure.
Right.
Or just to say to, you know, conversations as board members that we have with them along the way, that, you know, we really want to start to have more presence, and we're willing to, you know, we're looking for special duty, we're not getting a ton of interest, can you help with that kind of thing?
They'll hire extra. If they have enough communities doing that too, they'll hire extra. But even we could even add a full contract next year, a staff person to be there during busy hours. I mean, maybe they get paid more than the lifeguard, but
I like the idea of just having a uniform. And that's why I asked if they're armed enough, right? Because if the goal is preventative and to have a sense of security, someone in a uniform with no, you know, it's unarmed, it's not going to do anything different than a pool person.
Yeah, and I like your idea about that at the very beginning, because you can even, when groups of teenagers come in, that person can even maybe talk to them and say, hey guys, we're reminding the rules. Sometimes if you remind teenagers, believe it or not, in advance of the rules, it refreshes their short-term memories, and you know, someone that, rather than being reactive, be a little bit more preventative. But I really
change the perception from a soft target to something that's, you know, you're going to show up on a situation. You know, if you're looking for, if you're having a rough time or having mental issues or something like that, you're not going to pick a place that, you know, are they going to have a sheriff there? Is the sheriff going to, you know, police officer going to be there, and armed security guard going to be there or not? So there's other places or opportunities that they can seek out.
And also you have to be able to get in the gates. I mean, anyone could run in at any time, like here.
That's why I wasn't worried about it being just a resident concern, because, you know, if somebody's looking to do something bad and they're not a resident, they're not going to go up to the counter and try and buy a day pass, right? They're just going to go in.
But then you have to have an armed person there. I don't think I want armed.
I would rather have them armed than unarmed, to be honest. But I do want to take time to understand the contract in full detail a bit more. Just
you
because.
Have an armed officer at the pool all the time. Right? Maybe
not all the time. I would say that, you know, the first few days of the season, any night swims for sure, special events for sure.
I never want someone who is like flexible with and understands kids and not just every little dumb thing, because kids are dumb, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with that. But I just the way this looks, I want to see the contract, but they just can call them in any time. I don't know who would be in charge of that. Would it be Silas? Would it be the pool manager? Would it be anyone, you know?
Let's put some structure around it as far as proposed dates and process for requesting above and beyond those dates. So if you look at the forecast and have concern, let's get some structure around that. And then the other thing I would say too, Chief, and I know this may frustrate you a little bit, but something else for you to do. I honestly, our fire department is so respected. When I saw the fire department at the lake, and they were just talking with people launching the boats and kind of reminding them of best practices and looking over safety equipment and talking life jacket. I mean, I was there that day and I saw a lot of engagement. Even if there's a couple of the medics or something like that, it just not a long-term thing, but you throw out a little overtime or something like that and have a couple of medics that are over there as well, just from a presence standpoint. And, you know, even if we have an armed a sheriff who's obviously armed or an armed security guard, and they are going to immediately in uniform, hey, how's it going? You know, I'm firefighter so-and-so. Something comes up, they're going to be able to help with that, in my opinion. Our fire department is our community better than anybody.
And they're friendlier. They're less enforcement. It's a different mentality. We can be able to program them.
They can de-escalate.
But can you go visit the pool today for comment?
So from fire department side, you know, going out there, being hard stuff, you know, we definitely are trying to support a lot of the community events and go out there. The problem is enforcement. You know, we don't enforce
the whole thing.
So I would never up and shoot my guys, girls out there and say, hey, something happens, step in. So fights, anything. That's why I remind everybody that all these places that things have happened, shooting stuff, they never thought it would be done. And it happens. And then also, when we talk about residents versus non-residents, I can tell you from Paul, we have residents that have mental health crisis. We have fights, we have threats inside our community by residents. It's not just non-residents. So we have to remember that when we sit there and say, well, it's only residents at the pool, well, residents think the same as non-residents. So there's potential everywhere.
But there is potential everywhere.
What they target, and this is from lots of years of experience, you target the easiest place to go to with lots of people. And you want to make the biggest impact, which is of life, which is a group of people, especially young kids, because that's how that hurts the community more than anything. And that's where a person who really wants to do something and make a statement would target. So I would just say that, you know, every place thinks that it'll never happen to them until it does. I would just put that out there. But as far as the sheriff, I know they're draw. I know the sheriff's thin. I know everybody's thin right now. They're trying to do their, but I think, you know, it'd be something they could work out. But as far as fire department, we love going out there. We do support it. We just have to remember that us being there is basically, if something happens, we act as our
default
medical. We can't do, if a fight breaks out, we can stop, hey guys, stop it. They're not gonna put their hands on, they're not gonna do anything. And of course, if someone was to have a weapon, there's nothing we can do. You know, that we would just, so.
I think people respect firefighters. I mean, if you wanted to, they could just occasionally walk through the pool if you felt like that was.
We're not worried about people that respect anybody, we're worried about those who don't respect authority, period.
Yeah,
and most of the teenagers, you're right, most of the teenagers that come out, they just wanna have a good time. There's signs that say the rules. The website says the rules. Those people are going to follow the rules. It's the ones that you could sit there and you could tell them, I could sit here with the person and tell them word for word what the rules are and let them go in, and they don't care and they're going to act on it.
Okay, but if they saw even a firefighter uniform walking around, they might be able to, we don't know this guy if it's a woman, but they're obviously, you know, professional. And sometimes just having someone that you can see a presence of any kind that's official, sometimes like, oh, this person's an adult and let me watch
it. I just think it sends, for me, it wasn't about enforcement at all. I'm saying I'm fully aware
just a positive
of the enforcement. It's having the engagement. And then the one thing they can do, though, is, you know, from a safety standpoint, if there isn't, you know, and so instead of just looking at the pool as a potential target or, you know, law enforcement concern, if you will, it becomes more about just general safety.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like drownings or
whatever. To send a better message of general safety, to say, we're not looking to police you guys. We want to make sure that, you know, there's going to be more people here. If there is a safety incident or someone gets hurt, whatever the case may be,
And we do go out for special events. We do go out there to, you know, talk about their support. And it's just, I want to make sure that there's understanding that if something happens, we do the medical, we do all that. Other than that, though, we're not.
Fully understood.
Yeah. But you guys have such a good community relations. All your employees have such a good community relations. You know how they are. Yeah. And I think that's what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I recommend
it. If they're already there, then problem solved, you know. So, like some of the movie in the park and stuff, and they've shown up and just said hi to folks and come over and the kids look at the trucks and stuff like that. It's just a really good feeling. And, you know, there, like I said, if there are incidents, there's a lot of comfort in, you know, and drop off your kids. Oh, well, you know, there's a paramedic there if something happens and my kid will be okay, you know.
There's only one month left in this season. I mean, I have time to just sit or maybe look at the contract, but engage with the sheriff's office. We could even talk to them this year. I mean, and talk about special duty.
We do need to make sure that there will be, my understanding is there's going to be alcohol served at the Labor Day event. So we definitely need to have.
What is Labor Day event?
It's a Notre Dame football.
We're serving alcohol in the pool.
Yes. It's like a diamond. You know, watching a football game.
Who's providing alcohol?
We're working with distributors to, and it'll be a kind of like a ticketed thing, where they'll buy ticketed tickets to then purchase the beverages.
For beer,
yeah.
For
alcohol,
whatever.
Are kids permitted at that? This is a
21 hour. Well, the distributor will be in charge of that. They'll be on site and they'll allow any
ID. Is it 21 and over only?
No, we're opening it up to, but the alcohol will be inside of the community room, and our volunteers will have to go through a training, just like Trustee Grumble said, the checking IDs, that kind of thing.
So
yeah,
for an
officer for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say for that, definitely.
So we would need to put this on the next agenda to make sure we have something with security.
You can revise it now.
Well, it's still pending legal, so we don't have the contract yet.
Perfect.
Can you get some, did you say you called special duty for that day, August or Labor Day?
Yes, and because it does have alcohol involved, it's a higher rate, and they want two people there.
I was going to say they're going to be needing two.
So I have the request in. Again, it's if their off-duty officers pick it up as special duty.
So we still won't know more than 2 days before.
So the other thing is we don't have to go just to the sheriff's department for special duty. We can solicit other police departments. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you, the 4th of July, I think they have police officers from Sunbury at one of the 4th of July events.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still community members who close to
well,
remember, Delaware sheriffs can be from an hour away. They can tell
yeah.
You, but they're still kind of part of the general.
I think there's a general difference, though, between approach and stuff with different departments, too.
That's true.
But, you know, you may want to talk to Genoa Township.
Right.
It's very similar to Orange, right down the street. Some of their officers may even live here. They might have some special duty pay or special duty folk interested, and see if they want to help. Powell's got a police department, Delaware City. You've got a few in the area. I would put the pulse out to all of them and just say, okay. Hey, we need at least two. You know, what are the odds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's hard on the holiday. Okay, all right. Well, I think we beat that one.
Right, let's get through these resolutions and then we'll go into street signs. Is that fair? Make a motion to approve resolution 22-269, appointment of Greg Buck, full time position, park maintenance facilities assistant manager.
Second. Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Phelps?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Make a motion to approve resolution 22-270, authorizing the Orange Township Administrator to enter into an agreement with Romtech Incorporated. An agreement agree to authorize the issuance of a $1.2 million purchase order for the construction of North Road Park Phase 3 contingency purchase order for $120,000 from Architect Incorporated.
Second. Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Neff? Trustee Fest?
Yes.
We're going to table Garber. Until we vetted that further. All right, street signs.
All right, street signs. Several weeks back, I sent out to the board some communication and some renderings and some examples of street signs. Throughout the township, we have quite a wide variety of post signs, hardware, colors. It's quite a hodgepodge. So as we were going through our street program this year, talking with our public works department, I thought it would be good to try to bring some uniformity to our street sign situation around the township. Had these in the board office for several weeks. I'm going to talk with a couple of you about preferences, answering questions, went back and forth with quite a bit. So want to at least bring it before the board again and see if we can get a consensus on a design to move forward with so that we could begin slowly and intermittently as needed when signs go down, if we can back up with the newest, freshest look.
Can you remind us the pricing? I know you gave us initially on the galvanized versus the powder coat signs.
The powder coat is, sorry, stuff. I think it is $18 more per post. And then the hardware is an additional $4 per unit to powder coat all of this as well.
And am I correct in thinking that the powder coat is harder to come by? Just in general, it's hard to get?
It's just an extra step in the process, if you will. So it could lead to a longer lead time, a little higher cost, a little longer lead time potentially, but same material at the end of the day.
And there was some concern about, so the galvanized, the holes are already punched all the way through.
Correct.
The powder coated, they're not.
Correct.
So the solid
side. There's also a middle ground, the ones that I think I had for the demo were perforated. So they have the holes there, but it's kind of this perforated in case you want to punch it out. They're not as user friendly as you'd like them to be. Trying to punch that out usually bends the pole and damages it a little bit. But there is an option to powder coat this galvanized one as well to do something with that that does have holes in it too.
So I drove around. He gave us a couple different subdivisions that have the signs. So North Farms has the powder coated and everything in that subdivision, all the street signs, the stop signs, everything, if I remember correctly, was powder coated. So it looks really nice. And then I went to River's Edge off of Bell Canyon that has the galvanized, and there everything is galvanized. So your stop sign, your no parking sign, all that kind of stuff is galvanized. So just either it was uniform. So what in the township as you drive around, what are stop signs? What are our no parking signs? Are they galvanized? That's what they are in mine.
It's, again, it's a variety depending on how new or how old your respective subdivision is and whether or not the township's responsible for the signs. There's a lot of HOAs that are responsible for their own, but we have...
But we're just replacing the signs in the ones where we are responsible.
Correct, just ours, yeah. So the one on the far side of the room over here, we do have quite a few wooden posts.
And then are the stop signs wooden posts? And the no
wooden posts, no parking, everything. A lot of those will also... A lot of the no parking ones that tend to be a little more tedious. Those will be on new channels a lot of the time.
Which are galvanized.
Which is a galvanized post. They do tend to rust a little bit quicker though, they after a while. And then we do have some square galvanized here and there. But the other thing we're looking to do with this too is consolidating signs as well. So stop signs can now have the street name blades on top of them. 15, 20 years ago that wasn't a possibility. Now it is. We'll actually be eliminating some posts as well as we go through this process. So it does allow us a little flexibility. Removing a few posts, making a few people's corner lots a little more easier to know, if you will. And obviously, deal with the wooden signs. Those posts tend to just fall over if they rot, string trim to death, eat by bugs, whatever. So we'll, again, bring that uniformity to just having them instead of probably six or seven different ones.
Now, what's the price of the galvanized versus the non-galvanized?
I did not look at a non-galvanized option.
You mean the
power?
I'm sorry, galvanized versus powder coat.
$22 a post.
But for the whole, for the entire?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for too.
What's the cost of the actual galvanized post versus the powder coat?
The powder coat, I think this spouse just asked the same question.
It's in our backups.
Yes.
I don't remember what the cost was.
But is it hundreds of dollars?
No. No, it's roughly $18 to $20 a sign.
That's just a sign, that's not the post, right?
No, I'm talking about how much is that whole? how much is not the price difference? Like the actual pole, how much does the pole cost? Like $100?
No, 60. Gosh.
Yeah, it was like $68 or something for galvanized, and then
84, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
The power coat option.
I like the way the power.
$175 per post and sign for the galvanized option. Versus approximately, this is from, oh wow, this may have changed, versus approximately $246 per post and sign for the power coat.
So it's a $51 difference between
$70 something?
Oh yeah, $70. Wait, I thought he said it was only $18 more.
Yeah, this is from our email entry 23.
But didn't you just say
the full cost includes the brackets, the hardware, the ground anchor as well. So there is different components that go into the thing on the street sign.
It's 18,
but
there's
multiple,
but
that one has 1, 2, 3 things.
See, like
on the
fasteners and stuff. So what you were saying is those are $4 each. Like, so it starts adding up as you get more complicated.
But the net difference is $76 for the gallon.
The high end, yeah.
And so you're just replacing these as needed, though. If in a subdivision where the sign is no longer safe like that from my neighborhood, they're all that wooden thing. Those are the ones that you replace. But you're not going through replacing ones. You're not going through the whole township replacing every sign.
Eventually, I'd like to do this.
But not
right now. No, right now it's replacing the ones that are damaged. Like the one in, from Highlands here, it's over to the side of the room. The roads we just got done with new curbs, new gutters, new asphalt, and High Meadows will replace those roughly 6 or 8 signs this fall. At the end of the calendar year, if we have some money in one of our tax accounts or one of our revenue lines, and we have $1,000 or so or $2,000 sitting around that doesn't have a purpose, or if a project came in low, we have some money at the end of the year, we can go and take a couple of streets and knock those out at the end of the year. It won't necessarily be a plan dedicated, we're going to do your street this year, your street next year. It'll be as needed, or if there's some residual funds that we can spend and knock a little bit of the neighborhood out, we can do that.
Okay. I mean, I like the way the galvanized look. I think it looks nicer. I'm using the wrong, but I like the powder coated a lot.
The powder coated looks really nice. My only concern is that in the areas, since we are responsible for the streets there, that we won't have we're not going to powder coat the stop sign, we're not going to powder coat the no parking sign. So I like uniformity, personally. So I definitely agree, I thought I could powder coat it better in general, but in the actual subdivision, I like uniformity.
But then in some subdivisions, some of them are powder coated and we replace them with not.
But if they're powder coated already, they're probably, the subdivision is responsible for them versus us, and then we wouldn't even have to do anything.
Okay. We're responsible. Aren't we responsible for all signage in the right of way?
No.
Like in my, I live in McKenna Estates, and Wilshire is next to me. And so Wilshire has unique signs, and they are responsible. They're powder coated, and they're different.
But wait, hold on. So if it's in the public right of way and a sign falls down, it's not always our responsibility?
Correct.
And explain that, please.
As Ms. Foss just mentioned, there's multiple HOAs throughout the township that are responsible for their signage. If a stop sign was involved in an accident and gets knocked down, we notify the HOA that a new one needs to be put back up. We have the ability, and we usually do go put a temporary stop sign out for the public safety. But as far as the replacement on the fancy post with the different brackets and different things, many of those throughout the township are the responsibility of the HOAs.
According to
the development text of the neighborhood ones,
What those development texts actually stated was that you can put these fancy signs in if you want, but if they fall down or destroy, the township will replace it with their own. So you're looking into that, because I believe it's law that we're actually responsible for safety in our own township, because what if one of those fell down? So what you're saying is that a homeowner association could actually eliminate all signs from their neighborhood and have no signs, and they're responsible for that. That would be a public safety issue. I'm pretty sure that we're responsible for that. So if you go back, I was at every single one of the zoning meetings, and every single one said, you can put these fancy signs in if you want, but if they fall down and you don't replace them, then we replace them with our own, relatively not as attractive. I don't think that as a part of zoning that would be anything that's legally enforceable, nor do I remember any zoning text when I was working with the zoning commission, actually said you are responsible for your own signs. I mean, that's like saying you're responsible for your own public roads. You can't supersede actual, you know, government responsibility by zoning like that.
I mean, there's nothing you're going to look at.
Yeah, I guess I could probably clarify it with council, but if they, the HOA or community wants decorative signs, we are not responsible to replace those type of signs. Now, if they do not want to replace their decorative signs, and we legally have to provide a street sign, it will be our standard street sign.
Yeah, well, exactly, but it's still our ultimate responsibility to replace that sign. So currently, my understanding is if one of these neighborhoods has like North Orange, does North Orange have the special signage?
I saw North Farms, I didn't.
I think North Orange might, but if North Orange, for example, one of their signs started falling down, I believe that they could replace it if they wanted to, but if they did not want to replace it or they didn't have the funds, then we would be legally responsible.
That's what Michelle's saying. So.
Yeah, but I've heard that they're being told that when a sign is failing, that they need to replace it themselves and pay for it. And I don't believe that's accurate.
Well, they want their signs to be a certain way and stick design and look.
Yeah, but that's their responsibility.
Right, that's what we're relating to them, so.
Yeah, but if a sign is failing, I believe it's our responsibility. And we would replace it with, I mean, that's not as attractive as their signs, but it's still our responsibility to have public safety, and we're responsible for this road. So I just want to make sure that that's being made clear to the residents. We can
replace the signs, but it's going to be replaced with our standard, which is exactly. Probably not as nice as
what. And that's exactly, if you read back to the zonings, that's exactly what was said. Because, I mean, the zoning commission cannot absolve the township of their responsibility for public growth. That's not in their purview.
Yeah, we're not. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's saying that, and that's what I was told, that people are being told that. If they have special signs, they're responsible for it.
I think what they're going to be told is that they want to maintain the aesthetic in their HOA.
But that's not what they're being told. They're being told that if they want to replace, if those signs are failing, and there's one development that wanted to replace all of them, and if they're not failing, we're not going to replace them, even with their own signs, right? Like, say they wanted to replace all of them with that sign. We're not going to do that because the existing signs are failing. So we wouldn't do that, but they're being told that because, just like Silas just said, that they're responsible for their own signs, and that's not accurate. I just want to make sure they're not being told that because they should be, if they are. Does that make sense? They're not responsible for their own signs.
I wasn't aware they were told anyone anything.
They're being told that.
They're responsible for maintaining their own decorative signs if that's what they want to do.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But if they fail, if they call and they say, hey, this sign is falling down, it's 20 years old, this is going to become more of a problem as time goes on and there's those nice wooden signs. They'll call and they say, this is falling down, and they should be told that, well, hey, you're going to have to replace it yourself. They could be told, hey, if you want it to look like your current signs, it's your responsibility, but if not, we will replace it with this. It's your choice, but if the sign's falling down or not readable, it's going to be our responsibility to replace it.
That makes sense. So hopefully today we can adopt a standard sign, and then, you know, anytime we need to replace one, this is what will be.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm fine. That's a good point about the consistency.
I like the galvanized.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think the powder coated. We can cover more ground with the galvanized. It's the seems to be more consistent where there are
other signs. Yeah. And then, so there was some discussion about putting like a leaf in the circle, the township logo leaf. Is that right?
There's several options of different leaves. There's options of nothing. There's also options of township logo, which is there. There's a leaf on this side. There's obviously a couple different ways to go. I want to give the board the option to do some branding if they so desire.
I kind of like Erica had mentioned at one point that, and I think she's right, that Orange Township logo, that particular one, might be kind of hard to read. Like, I do like it though, and I guess if you were up next to it. But what about just an orange leaf? Is there any logo that's easier?
Yeah, these were all the board office for the last few weeks.
That was the one I saw.
Bunch of different options here.
Yeah, those are ones I saw, and I like the other
one. I liked the orange leaf or the green leaf that matched the green on the sign.
I like the one that matches the sign. I went back and forth, but I just think from a uniformity standpoint,
But orange identifies as the Orange Township. The leaf doesn't mean anything by itself. I like orange.
When we drive around the township, like in the center roundabouts, and there's a leaf to certain places, is it typically orange or is it different colors depending on, you know, what it's on?
It's an orange sign now, right?
I think there might be both.
Yeah, the big round brand, when they did the branding, and then we had to take some down, but like down by Chase, there's one.
What is it again?
There's these small signs on the posts that are like round, say Orange Township, and then they're the logo on the other side.
Because I don't
so
that.
Actually, we should keep it that. We should keep
the
it.
Orange.
Yeah, like flip it around, Silas, if you don't mind flipping it around to the other logo.
Yeah, because that doesn't meet our standards, the screen.
That right there is what's on those signs. So
I think when you're in the car, it's too busy. So I don't think of the orange leaf.
I like the orange leaf, but I also do like it that says Orange Township, because then it gives more of an identity for even people walking around.
I just don't think you're going to be able to read it, but you could read it when you're walking.
You know what, a lot of people don't even realize they live in Orange Township. So actually, even though you're driving, you would still see the leaf. I kind of do like that, actually, now that you...
Tyler, can you want to weigh in? Just stand up.
Yeah, actually now, people walking around, even though I do like the orange leaf, I don't think that the green leaf would meet our branding standards, because I don't think this is the green leaf.
Oh,
logo.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
right.
This is a
fair group. That's not okay. Okay, so consensus on galvanized posts with orange leaf and
fastest consensus ever.
Yes, with the actual words.
Okay.
I like it.
Thank you, Silas.
You're welcome. This will be good. Be nice.
Yeah, let us know when the first one goes up. We'll go take pictures by it. It'll be very exciting.
Not together.
Not together.
We'll order that soon. All right, thank you, Board. The last thing I have for discussion is East Powell Road bike trail. As you may recall, the county reconstructed East Powell Road from Old State going east last year from 71. And they prepped for a trail, they did not construct a trail. It's been identified as an important connection piece through Central Ohio Greenways, as well as a popular discussion topic amongst residents of the township for connectivity purposes. The township was recently notified that we received an $82,000 grant for this project. The estimated project cost is in the neighborhood of $522,000, so 82 will cut into that a little bit. We are continuing to seek additional grant funding for this project. But for the sake of the grant that is to be awarded, I want to get consensus on the board on one, the price tag, and two, accepting the grant so that the entity can move forward with their awarding of that $82,000 grant.
Do we have a time frame with the total project cost that I know this, we can't really hold people to that just in the market that we are in, but you know, 522 this week, 2 months from now, is it going to be 700?
Not sure I can answer that question. The estimates were prepared by the county engineers. There is potential that we'll see some additional help from the county on this, something we'll certainly seek out. But I don't think I can give you an accurate answer on that because I don't know if anybody knows the answer to it.
Would you qualify for the 2-to-1 county thing?
Not for a trail, to my knowledge.
Let's see what they'll do to help us on this. I know that they had me up a little bit on this one too. There were some coordination challenges, and I think it's one that'll be in the county road. I think it's one that might, they might make an exception to jump on and help us out.
Yeah, I'd like to think so too. I think I wish I was around when this project first was initiated, so we've had these conversations instead of going back after the fact and adding a path that would have been much more cost effective and been done by now as well. So a couple wins there, but I think it's an opportunity to improve collaboration going forward so these types of things aren't being done separately and, you know, can knock them out quicker and more cost efficient.
How far will it stretch from South Old State all the way to
Lyra?
To the new roundabout?
Correct.
Okay.
It's great.
And is there a walking path on East Powell once you cross 71? I know it's partially in front of those homes.
I don't recall off the top.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I think it's just a couple.
There's not.
From O'Kane, it's maybe like one lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one they just did the corner on.
Okay.
It's like
but it would be able to
apron,
be.
It's the apron of like 3 feet or something.
Okay.
It's not substantial.
Okay. But this will allow a lot of people to be able to bike to Polaris and...
Yeah, it's a pretty key connection.
Subdivision together, the kids will be excited, and it'll help with, especially when they throw all those new lights in, it'll help with our teenagers that live on the south side of East Powell and need to, you know, get home late after school when mom and dad are working, and they miss the bus safer. Because they're doing sports, it'll be much safer.
Yeah, let's see what the county can do to help us out. I think they've been good partners, so.
I would agree.
Let's talk to Chris Ballard's office and see if they have any, they may have some pulse on something, you know, just something great in the pipeline.
Yes, they've been very helpful, and I suspect they'll continue to be, and we'll continue to chase other grant funding as well. So for clarification, the board is good moving forward with the East Powell Road project. We can notify the awarding agency that we're good to move forward with the grant.
I support it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all. That is it for rural operations.
All right, Chief.
Mark, a couple of things. I'm going to skip to the last one. Do that first. It's an agreement with Strikers. So, Striker, we had another company that would service our medical vehicles, the lift systems on the medics to help lift the gurney in. We had some issues with how long it would take their turnaround. So we're looking at, we call Striker out to come and help us when we're in a bind. They came out that day, were able to help us. They also maintain the gurneys and stuff. They're able to do that. So we're looking at going with this company to whatever they call it, general preventative maintenance, a couple twice a year. But other than that, it would be just, hey, our lift system's not working anymore, and they are pretty much that day, if not, or the next day at least, we'll get out to fix it, which keeps our medic in service.
So, and so this is just for the medics?
Yes, okay. This is just medics.
Thank you.
And it basically come down to responsiveness and
yes.
Turnaround time.
Yep.
Important.
And then next two items are same thing. I'm happy to say that we had a great hiring board last week. We had a total of between 18 and 20 applications. We did have two individuals that one was on the fence whether they wanted to interview because they had another job lined up, and then another one received a job with a company that was closer to where they lived, so they had to do a drive. So, but we did have a big turnout for full-time positions, and we narrowed it down to like 2 days of interviews, and we narrowed down to two personnel, and those two names are before you. Mr. Zachary Wolf, he is a longtime employee of Delaware County. He works right here at F3, so he knows that area very well. Great medical skills, but also brings a lot of from the fireside. Has a lot of instructor background and things that really contribute to the department as a whole. And then second on the list was Jeffrey Chevalier. Jeffrey comes recommended by numerous people, and he also was a prior law enforcement, and then he decided to go to the right badge and came to the fire department. So a lot of history, great fire ground medic, and then has a great strong background in public service. So but those two names in front of you, great people. I think the board, Lieutenant Scott led the board of four individuals, including himself, and I really think they did a great job, as they've done the past two hiring boards we've done since I've arrived, so.
Thank you. You had mentioned at the last meeting that you were doing part-time hiring as well.
So we had so many, we would have had about 30 applicants to interview, and knowing that we have other things we have to do, we would be like, okay, we're going to put one. And I'm also looking at the rental program that right now I just got the contract. I'm going to get it to legal where we rent gear for part-time. That way, if I have someone that's really short, I buy gear for them that costs about $4,000. I have to wait for someone that short to come in, or I can rent it. And for if I was to hire 8 part-time right now, I could pay rental for 8 for 3 years for those 8 people. That would equal how much I would pay for buying 8 sets of gear right now. So there is a, you know, it depends how you look at it. It's kind of like leasing a vehicle, you know, in the end is it, you know, if the person stays part-time with us for a long time, at that point you'd have to look at, okay, maybe it makes more sense to buy some gear, or we might have some that we left that we'd be able to use their full-time gear for. But as far as rentals, I think for our part-time members, because they come here for 6 months and they're trying to get hired on somewhere. So as soon as they get their paramedic, or as soon as they get hired and they're gone, we wouldn't be stuck with the gear. We could turn that gear in, and then the next person we hire for part-time, we get new gear for them, and say yearly. So that's why we're postponing the part-time probably a couple weeks until I get that sorted out.
Makes sense. Postponing the hiring.
Yes. Okay. We're going to do the hiring board here in a couple weeks because we had so many on this last hiring board. I didn't want to overwhelm with part-time and full-time. So we're going to do the part-time separate in a couple weeks, and then also be working on that contract. So that way when we do hire them,
it comes to put it all together. Yep. So they go get fitted, get their turnout gear. And
yes. So more to come on that. But that's hopefully before the end of this month, we should have the hiring board then. We'll put it off, you know, until we get the contracts for everyone. So,
thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Great work.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I have none.
Make a motion to approve resolution 22-271, appointment to position full time firefighter paramedic Jeffrey Tavares.
Second.
Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee House?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Make a motion to approve resolution 22-272, appointment to position of full-time firefighter paramedic Zachary Wolf.
Second. Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Trustee Cross?
Yes.
And like from a colleague standpoint, just welcome both to the group and grateful for all the work you've been doing, Chief.
I appreciate it. I will make sure that once we're done with the orientation, we'll have them here to do the swearing.
Perfect. Perfect. So that's great.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Make a motion to approve resolution 22-273, approving an agreement with Stryker.
Second. Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Phelps?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
We'll work on that as well. It's what we need when we need it, and most important job out there for the township. From a public safety standpoint. So. Fiscal office report. Oh boy. Please state your name and address.
There's only two things on the fiscal office report for today. First one is a liquor license for Ohio Springs Inc. DBA Sheets, and just a consensus to hold or not hold a public hearing for that. And the second item is an appropriation change. In the spring, we came and created a fund for the EMS money that comes in. And when we did all that, we asked to transfer $700,000 from the one bank account to the other. What I didn't do at that point that needed to be done is increase appropriations in the fire transfer out fund. And the number that's here, 849-50138, is the exact number that has come into that fund over its lifetime through June 30th. We will make sure we deposit all future money, including like July 31st, into the new EMS fund. So I need that authority, that money in appropriations, to be able to transfer it out. Thereby it goes into the EMS fund, and then I'm looking for the EMS fund to get that increased authority to be able to spend it. We technically have already done a $700,000 purchase order for part of the fire, to cover part of the fire truck out of that, and that's the chief's intent, is this EMS fund will be used to purchase vehicles. While I have a PO in namesake, without doing all this, I can't pay a bill. So that's what this transfer is for.
So you said $801,000 is the lifetime amount required for the EMS bill?
Three years or so ago when the money started coming in for this, I don't know an exact date, there's been 849-50138 coming.
So it's about, how much is it per year?
It's in the neighborhood of 300,000 or so per year. It ranges from 20,000 to 45,000 per month.
What
So it could be as high as 400,000 per year kind of thing.
I think we actually, Ryan started that like back in 2013 or 2014, the EMS building, well, it was the 14th time. I think we actually started it years ago. And I was anticipating we could get 300,000 to 400,000, and I was told that we would never get that much. So
that's in the ballpark of what we're getting.
Yeah, yeah, I was right. I'm sorry for once. So. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, you tried to get it early, right?
You remember that? Yeah. They didn't want it, and then they're like, oh, it'll be 100,000 a year. That's good news.
Yeah. Any questions about it?
No.
No.
I don't think, I personally don't need to hold a board meeting for the sheets application of high schools.
No.
Pretty standard. No. So, got that noted?
No, yes.
Any questions on the movement of money?
No.
To a spending account from a holding or a transfer account?
Right, a whole partnership with that.
Make a motion to approve by one third.
Well, it's small.
My entire group.
Right.
No, that's I'm sorry.
Right,
that's
that's
the plan for going forward, is that we'll buy every about 5 to 6 years. The banks take the rules meeting because that's the most work calls. Is we'll use that money every 5 years just to replace it, and that way we'll have a future of that's how we'll
make a little bit
and
of
that original,
assets too.
And that was the original intent too. I think you can only spend it on like certain items, the EMS vehicles.
Yeah, we'll make money when we sell the old assets as well, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure you're
make a motion to approve resolution 22-274, increasing permanent appropriation established in resolution 21-389.
Second.
Trustee Reynolds?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Trustee Fox?
Yes.
All right. Administrative report.
Yes, thank you. I have two items on the administrative report. The first item is something that we do every year and entering into a lease agreement with Delaware County for their EMS services at our location, 6226 3rd Street. Nothing's changed as far as the lease agreement goes. So
what's the amount?
The amount is monthly installments of $720. And that is an annual sum of $8,640.
Okay. Any questions with this? Make a motion to approve resolution 22-275, enter into a lease agreement with the Board of County Commissioners of Delaware County, Ohio, for use by Delaware County Emergency Services of a portion of the township's facilities located at 6226 3rd Street property.
Second.
Trustee Rumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Mouse?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
And the last item on the agenda is to ask the board to reschedule our regular scheduled trustee meeting from August 15th to August 22nd of this year. So pushing it a week back for the following Monday, given there's several scheduling conflicts, and I think that the August 22nd date would work better for most of us. And so I'll do all the proper publishing and all that as well.
That'd be fine.
Yes.
Okay. Make a motion to approve resolution 22-276, reschedule regular scheduled trustee meeting.
Second.
Trustee
Burnholz? Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Trustee
Mills?
Yes.
Anything further today? Need to go through?
I do not have anything.
Make a motion to approve resolution 22-277, meeting adjournment.
Second.
Trustee
Burnholz? Yes.
Trustee Mills?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned, thank you.